What's up? What's poppin'? Hey. Let me know that you're with me. Hey. My leg pushed the button on. So let's get it right. Get it right. Get it right. What's the hell going on? That's what I mean. What's poppin'?
Who we got in the place?
Can you hear me now?
Hello. Wait a minute. Are you all able to hear me? I think you can hear me now. Wait a minute. Is it working? Is it working? We good? I hear me through my phone, so you guys have to hear me. Okay, let this be an ad for a tech person. I need a tech person immediately. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is a lot. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you, everybody out there in my loyal following. I am so grateful that you all stayed around and let me work through my technical difficulties. It was crazy. So welcome to the Blowing Bubbles podcast, Dr. Maniker. Hello, can you hear me, doctor? Are you able to hear me? I can't hear you now. Uh-oh. I can't hear you, doctor.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
This is probably the worst I've had. Oh my God.
I'm able to hear you now.
Hello? Can you say something?
Can you hear me, Carol?
There you go. I hear you now. We got it. Good. Yay. Awesome sauce, everybody. Oh my goodness. I am so, so glad for all of you for being so patient with me. You would never know I majored in computer science once upon a time. I am so untechie. Thank you. Hello. Oh my goodness. Cousin Inez. Thank you for joining. Welcome to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. I am so pleased to have with me here my colleague in Toastmasters, Jyoti, Dr. Jyoti Maniker. She is a weight and obesity specialist. And my goodness, I am so excited to have you here. She has a new book coming out called Weight Wise. She is phenomenal. And guess what, guys? She is ready to talk to you. Anybody that has any questions, anybody that has any concerns, let's figure it out together right here today. Welcome, Dr. Jyoti. Y'all give it up for Dr. Jyoti right now.
Thank you, Corona. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody out there, please do me a favor and share this right now. We want to make sure that this gets out. Anybody that might need this information, we want to make sure that they are actually getting it. We are in for a treat tonight. How are you feeling tonight, doctor?
I'm good. It's been a long day, but it was a happy day.
Yes. Awesome. So when is your book due to be released? Weight Wise.
Good news. It's this year. It's going to be in September.
Awesome. So you all be on the lookout. We're going to make sure that people follow you so that they can be aware when that book drops. There's a lot of people in the country and around the world that deal with obesity and weight management. I know as a mother, I have been, I didn't really have as many problems, but, you know, keeping kids off of sugar was probably the biggest thing. And their biggest problem with sugar was mommy, because I love sugar. So do you have any practical tips for moms that, you know, might get into the picky eater stages with kids, or just trying to make sure that kids have a healthy lifestyle?
Absolutely, Karina. That's like the number one thing right now. You know, anybody could get addicted to sugar. I usually call sugar is cocaine. If you eat sugar, you want more, right? So it's not just you, anybody. Once they start eating that sugar, they want more of it, unfortunately. I would too. I have sweet tooth too, but I realized that the sweet tooth happens because I eat sweets. If I don't eat sweets, I don't even think about it. So for mothers, especially, and the kids, a lot of times I say, you know what, with little kids, it's hard for them to understand what sugar does to them. So what I usually use a technique is, eat this first, then I'll give you that. And a lot of times they're full and they may just eat a little bit of the junk. So we can little by little put that back instead of saying no. So that's one way to kind of handle those, you know, picky kids sometimes. And sometimes you have to put your foot down, be that mommy, hate to be that, but sometimes I have to do it with my own kids too.
So how can a big kid combat years and years of sugar consumption? What are some things that you can do to try to, I don't know, if it is it reversible on the body?
Absolutely. So that is the key thing. Imagine if somebody was hooked onto alcohol or smoking, it is difficult to come off, but it's not impossible. Same thing with sugar. Actually, science shows that sugar lights up the same pleasure centers in your brain like cocaine, alcohol, or drugs would. So it's giving us the same pleasure. Now, any mom, let's say you, would you give your child cocaine? Heck no. Right?
Right.
But we don't realize that sugar has the same addictive power. So a lot of times I tell moms, you know what? Let's start with very simple things. And my answer would blow you away. You know, a lot of times simplicity or whatever's naturally present is the key to get rid of the addiction. So we don't have any super duper pill or medication or anything like that. We could always use some support. But usually I say, if you kick it off, first 3 days are rough. Like any alcohol withdrawal, there will be sugar withdrawal for 3 days. And after that, you're fine. As long as you know you have fueled your body with nutrition, you're good. So always start with fruits and vegetables, and then you can always have that little bit of junk every now and then, but gradually you can wean that off. Instead of just cutting cold turkey everything, I like to kind of wean it off. Like if you're eating two bread slices, cut down to one. If you're getting a white bread, you want to get wheat bread or, you know, whole flour or whole food options instead of the simple sugar options. So those can be some of the tricks to kind of get away gradually from it. And some people are there, you know, who are like, they drop that cigarette cold turkey after smoking 3 packs a day for 30 years. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. There are people who do that. And
my mother actually quit cold turkey.
Wow, she got some real power.
She actually did. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And I've seen sometimes people have that COPD, the lung disease. They're on oxygen, not able to breathe, and still smoking. It's like
that.
Unfortunately, it's that addictive. Unfortunately, but there's help. Always. There's always help. You can get help with, you know, counseling. It helps with knowledge. You know, once you know things, then you can, you know, make better choices. A lot of times I feel like people don't know what's right. Whatever's conveniently available on the shelf, it looks like, oh, it's food. We never think about it that, is it real food? So if you drive a car, what do you put in your car, Karina?
I put good gas in my car.
Good. Look at that. So whether it's Toyota or BMW, you have to put gas. If you put alcohol in it, will it run? Heck no. No. Same thing. Why are we putting trash in our body?
Big fact. So with me, I deal with a lot of food allergies. Is there any, to your knowledge, remedy for food allergies? Can my body be reintroduced to foods? And I have strange food allergies.
I mean, tell me what food you're allergic to.
bananas, coconuts, tree nuts.
What happens
avocado,
when you eat
those? My throat closes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a severe allergy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't understand it. Shrimp. There's a lot of things that are supposed to be good for people that would send me to the hospital. And
So I have to explain the science behind it, and then I'll come to that answer. How about that?
Okay. I know I'm looking at my audience, by the way, and there's a couple people on here that I know deal with food allergies also. So I'm kind of tailoring the questions. And once again, guys, she is open to talking directly to you. So don't be shy. Throw a question out there. Okay.
So, Corona, what happens is when we have certain foods, which we have done over our life, not knowing what we're putting in our system, these foods have already caused inflammation in our body. Now, inflammation causes swelling at microscopic cell level. And when something hits it, even if it's water, if it is, you know, plain old avocado, even if it's, you know, strawberry or some kind of nut, the inflammation is already there. And your body kind of sets off just like that. So a lot of times, the allergies are developing more here lately just because our bodies are already fighting something. And when they're in that fighting mode, even if you give them something good, they're just fighting it all the time. Mm-hmm. So that, given that basics, now think about it. Let's say if your body did not have any inflammation at all. Your body's healthy, totally nourished, and doing well. Then if you start putting something gently, one at a time in small portions, then you can desensitize your body and you'll tolerate that much better. Instead of eating a whole avocado, now that the inflammation is down, now you have just a piece of it, then your body will handle it. And then gradually introduce to it a little by little, instead of eating all the foods that you're allergic to on one day or the whole avocado on one day. So that could be some of the ways that you could do it. So the question is how to get rid of this inflammation that's already existing. Right? Yeah.
Right.
So here's what I did. Let me tell you an example of my patient. I had this patient, let's call her Brittany. She was 300 some pounds and she came to me because she wanted to lose weight. She also had diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma, seasonal allergies. And just for allergies, she was using four medications just for allergies. For blood pressure, two. One for cholesterol, three for diabetes. And she was so tired of giving herself insulin and having to use her inhaler. She stopped going out because she couldn't breathe. Literally, she was homebound. And she was like, how can I lose weight if I'm not able to walk outside?
Wow.
I said, Brittany, you know what? You're not alone. And this can be fixed. And then I went through her food log. And guess what? She's eating standard American diet. A sandwich of 2,000 calories that has just animal protein and white bread, typically, right? And they may put a slice of tomato here and there, maybe a leaf of lettuce here and there to make it look pretty. But literally, she's not getting nutrition. So I told Brittany, hey, you know what? First, you need to give your body nutrition because your body is constantly in the fighting mode. It does not like what you're giving it. It's trying to fight it all the time. I mean, all its soldiers are ready to fight off different things. Now you put the good things also, it starts fighting just because their soldiers are ready. They want to just kill everything that's in front of them. So I said, Brittany, let's clean up your food mess. And first thing she said is, I eat fine. I don't eat huge. I'm like, you know, I'm like, a lot of times we don't realize what is good just because you're used to eating that way. Everything is, you know, quick in this hustle and bustle of modern life. We are so tied up with time, we're just on the go all the time. So we just have to pick up something, drive and eat, drink something. We don't even think about what we're eating. I was surprised that she was not even drinking water. I asked her, what do you drink? She said, well, water is there in Coke. Water is there in my caffeine. I'm like, well, there's water, but that's dehydrating you completely. That's going to shut down. Let's not do that, dear. And she was so desperate. She was ready. She was like, you tell me whatever. I will do it. Because she had come to her end where she could not even walk 50 feet without getting out of breath. So when she came to that desperation, I'm like, okay, let's start with this. So you don't even have to exercise. Isn't that cool? I said, you don't have to exercise to lose weight. She was like, really? She was so surprised. I'm like, true, you don't have to exercise to lose weight. I said, just let's start with cleaning up your system and don't even worry about weight. I said, let weight loss be the side effect of healthy eating. And she's like, how is that possible? I'm like, my answer is so simple that you'll be blown away. I said, just eat God-made stuff, fruits and vegetables, and lean protein that comes from, you know, lentils, beans, legumes. And she was like, how do I eat? I never even cooked that way. So we had to learn and relearn what is real food. I said, Brittany, you are overweight and undernourished. You need to first nourish your body to get you all started. So I'm sure that a lot of people in a similar situation, because they just don't know. It's not their fault. They just don't know. And they've been doing this forever and nobody told them what's the right way. And everybody tries to lose weight, and there's so much misconception on the internet that people are lost. They gain and lose, and it's frustrating. They get hungry, and then, you know, they'll do diet for some time, and then they get desperate. And then they eat that one cookie, and boom, everything's out of the window. They're back to their own eating pattern. So that on and off cycles keep happening. And now coming to Brittany, we worked on her diabetes. I told her first the diet part. I gave her some medication for diabetes and removed her older medications that would potentially cause weight gain. So there are some medication or dinosaur age medication for diabetes that I say, you know, there are a lot of newer, better medications. So I made a little tweaking there and put her on whole food plant-based diet. And guess what? There's a lot of information about whole food plant-based. And once I put her on that, within 6 weeks, she had lost 17 pounds. And she came to me. Okay. She was so thrilled.
Just like for eating.
Yeah, she could put her shoes on for the first time. So she was so happy. She's like, I never got into these shoes. My legs are not swollen. Oh. I mean, wear my shoes for the first time. So, you know, that was a happy dance right there, day one, 6 weeks out. Of course, it was, it was a hard work, but it paid off. It paid off.
Awesome. Guess
what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, after a year, she had almost lost like 118 pounds. And we didn't even think about her asthma and allergies. But all those were gone within 6 months of her eating right. In fact, at 21 weeks, I think she was significantly better with her allergies. And she could eat a lot of things and tolerate the outside weather and everything. And Brittany is not one example. There are several of these like this. If you clean out your system and your body's inflammation goes down, that means your body's not fighting something blindly. You're able to tolerate a lot of different things, but just introduce gradually.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to do that. I started juicing. I've been kind of desperate to figure it out. Had five surgeries last year alone. And the last one was the removal of my gallbladder. I've been trying to figure it out. And that one took me down. I ended up back in the hospital for 5 days. So I don't know what to do.
Oh,
food should not be my enemy, though. Yeah. Right. So when you and I met, that's why I got so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to talk to you. Yeah. Food attacks me.
I would say
things that I've been eating for years.
Calling anything food these days. That's the problem, Karuna.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, we're calling food. I think anything that's out there, we're calling it food. I usually say it's either junk or it's food.
So true.
There's no junk food. It's junk or it's food.
That is a fact. Yeah, but like pineapples. I found out I'm allergic to pineapples. Had no idea, and I'd been eating pineapples a lot. I love pineapples.
If you look at the age-old studies, when people in the past, when before we had this modern diets of sugar, fat, and refined processed foods, people did not have allergies. How did that happen? So definitely, there
it's
is
what
something
they do to the food
in our system.
Yes, I just started planting some food, so. Have a
good
green
for you. That's awesome. That's a great start, my friend.
I am all in. I have a lot to live for, man. I gotta figure this body out. You only get one. Yes.
not as complicated. A lot of people think, oh my God, what do I have to do? I usually tell the simple answer is, if it's God made, eat it. If it's man made, don't. If it's packaged, don't. You know? So if it's fruit or, you know, it's a fruit or a vegetable, you know, you don't need to read nutrients on it because you know what it is in there. But right. If something's packaged, there are a ton of nutrients and half the stuff you can't even read. Half of it is chemicals. And imagine what those chemicals are doing to your body.
Yeah. So, yeah. I used to work for a large food manufacturer. And one of the things that astonished me is that they put all of the amount of preservatives that they put in things. And some of the things they were only giving a very short shelf life, but they still put a ton of these preservatives in there. And it made me think, if they're designing this chemical to make it sit on a shelf for years, what is it going to do in my gut?
Exactly.
And I stopped eating that stuff. Even though I was making it for a living, I stopped eating it. But I still love candy. I used to make candy for a living. So that was one of the things that contributed to my sugar addiction. I did.
Well, if bugs and bacteria don't want it on the shelf, but we are eating it, imagine. You know, can you keep an apple or a pineapple or something on the shelf and not wait for it to go bad, or you know, bugs will get it immediately because that's real food they want it.
Yeah.
But now you processed and put a whole bunch of stuff. The bugs even don't want it. Who cares?
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, and then are like, ooh, it's packaged, it's boxed, it's
Now, do you have any go-to superfoods that you like?
There are a lot of superfoods. So instead of saying pill, let's say spinach. How about that?
Okay.
Instead of me thinking, let's have a pill for blood pressure, why don't we think about, let's have some greens for dinner.
Yeah.
So usually that helps a lot. So everything that is produced by, you know, plant-based foods are superfoods. But if you have to specifically look, there is spinach, there is kale, and there are a couple of nuts, especially pistachios, walnuts. They're great sources of nutrients. And a lot of times people, you know, run away from fat, but there is good fat that our body needs. The things that come from, you know, nuts, olive oil. Of course, excess of everything is bad. In moderation, it's all good because that actually helps build your immune system. And, you know, very essential to have those things in your food. Only thing is don't boil or heat your olive oil a lot or coconut oil a lot, because those are good things. If you heat up a lot, they turn into trans fats. So try not to heat too much of those and use it on the surface of it once your salad is done. So that might be something good. Vegetables, when you're eating them, don't overcook them. Cook them lightly, steam them or saute them. They seem to have more nutrients. Yeah. So those will be good form nutrients. And your dessert is your fruit. Once you finished eating, eat an apple or an orange or something. Or sometimes I tell people the trick is eat an apple before you eat your food. So you're not going to eat as much. Your volume is going down. Yeah. You know, our stomachs are designed where we have to have it full so that the stretch receptors tell your brain that I'm full. So we have to eat, let's say if you eat a plate of broccoli, that's 2 grams of carbs. And it fills your stomach. Now you take a slice of bread, that is almost like 25 grams of carbs. And that fills your stomach only this much. And now you have this whole stomach that is empty. So your brain does not tell that I'm full. So it's going to ask for more.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, but if well, you that's why I eat so many biscuits at Red Lobster. Oh my goodness. Now, what suggestions do you have for busy entrepreneurs who are they're trying to get it together, they want to eat better? What kind of advice can you give to someone who just doesn't know how to regulate their eating while they're on the move constantly?
That's a very, very good point, Karuna. I mean, a lot of times we find things that we need to do. We find time for things that we want to do. But a lot of times we put food in the in the back burner or thing that, okay, we're going to start next Monday, and that next Monday never comes. The simple things that I usually tell is keep your meal ready the night before, so you can take your box instead of finding lunch outside somewhere. So you can chop your salad and keep it ready, have your beans in it. You can take it in the morning without having to worry about it. So you can have veggie patties. That doesn't take too long to, you know, cook or put it in the microwave or something. Or I can, by the time I get my water and my shoes and everything ready, it's done on a light pan. And I take that on the go. It's easy. You can, you know, have it ready in the freezer. So instead of canned stuff, fresh vegetables, some people worry about it going bad. But if you have frozen vegetables, it's easy to saute them, put some, you know, beans and stuff. It's ready to go. You got your protein, you got your vegetables. So focus on those two things primarily. As long as you have your protein and your vegetables, 3 to 4 ounces of protein. And at least, you know, if you're looking at a plate, 30% protein, 70% vegetables, that kind of gives you an idea of how it needs to look like. So obviously, if you're doing like a vegetable omelet, you're getting both. Or if you're trying to do a salad, keep it chopped and ready. Black beans, quick and easy to do. They can be taken with you. So I usually try to say plan it the night before or on the weekend to have your meals ready. So it's quick and easy. Once you get into the rhythm of it, a routine, then you don't have to think as much. It just kind of happens by routine. Now, every day when you're in the rush, you still brush your teeth, right? Because you got used right. to it. Don't think about it. So right. eventually it becomes second nature. It just happens. And like you said about juicing, you know, you can take your smoothie on the go. You can put some strawberries, nuts, water, and boom, your smoothie is ready.
Yes. When I started juicing, I bought a case of mason jars so that I could do my prep for the whole week.
Mm-hmm. Smoothies are quick and easy. It just takes like 30 seconds to make a lot of times. So you can either pre-plan it or, you know, keep the dry contents and just put water and grind it, take it to go quick. That is an option. You can do apples and bananas. That is an option too, and put some nuts and, you know, some people like vegan protein powder. That's good. I usually say stay away from whey as much as possible, but you could get vegan protein powder, which is good. Add that, pick organic whenever you can. And it's a quick thing. So you don't have to put regular milk or anything. It's quick on the go first thing, you know, that's my quick go-to in the morning is get my smoothie and good to go.
Now, are you vegetarian?
Mostly, but occasionally I do eat some fish and eggs, but that's kind of pretty rare. It's like usually maybe one meal of that once a week or every other week, maybe, but it's very less, it's less common. And if I don't get the, you know, wild caught, I won't eat. Or if it's not an organic chicken, just because it's not worth it. After knowing how the animals are raised, there's no point. I'm like, is that nutrition?
Yeah.
Well, there was a good study the other day. I looked at this particular physician. He did a study on, you know, on rats and mice. So what he saw was when you feed these rats, the 20% of casein or milk protein for 3 weeks, they started showing signs of having liver cancer. Just 3 weeks. But then if he reduced that to 5%, there was no cancer. And we put at least like 3 times of that in our system every day.
Yeah, easily.
And now we did a study going back saying that, okay, if he took down the 20% down to 5% in the same mice, he saw that their cancer cells reduced. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. So would there be a meal regimen that you recommend for a cancer patient?
Even if it's a cancer patient or, you know, inflammatory disease patient or heart disease patient, diabetes, usually I say get your lean protein and vegetables. Those have so many phytonutrients that your body will get the environment to heal itself. Believe it or not, Corona, we form cancer cells in our body every single day. Every single day.
Wow.
But our body has the capacity to clean it out. Our killer cells in our body clean those wrong cells that are formed or the bad cells that are formed. Now, if we have the wrong environment in our body, that's not conducive for our fighter cells to fight it off. then the cancer cells will start growing. And that's when people develop cancer.
Okay.
So our bodies are tremendous machines.
Yes. Yes, they are. They are. Wow. You've given me a lot to think about, certainly. Now, how long have you been in the Atlanta area practicing?
I've been here for more than 20 years now. Okay. I've been doing medicine for more than 20 years, yeah.
Okay. Are you taking new patients?
I do take some right now. That's another thing, you know. My first new patient appointment is about 6 months out. I'm sorry to say that.
You guys heard that. So if you want to consult with Dr. Manica, you better talk to her now. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. That just means you are a busy and trusted physician. That is
thank
incredible.
You, Carla, for those kind words. But that's why I'm trying to kind of get out there and talk to people. I wrote this book just to kind of bring that awareness so that more and more people can see, you know, identify the problem and then treat it. And that's what I put in the book. And also I do, you know, a lot of speaking engagements just to kind of bring that awareness to people, because there's so much confusion and noise out there that it is very difficult for people to understand what is right and what is wrong. Everybody's trying to experiment these things. So instead of that, I feel like since I know it, let me give it to people so they can, you know, use it day one and right away and, you know, get full charge of their lives instead of a sugar hijacking their brain.
That's good. Now, one thing that I know is a very big problem today with a lot of people is emotional eating. Even if they're not eating junk, to eat 3 pounds of broccoli is still bad at one time. What is something that you would recommend a person who struggles with emotional eating to do?
Absolutely, Karana. You hit it. I mean, I see that a whole lot, more common in women than in men, but men do have it as well. When it comes to eating disorders or binge eating or emotional eating, what we're looking at is a trigger. So when we have certain stressors in our life, let's say, you know, it was a bad day at work, too much stress, kids being a problem, you know, financial issues, there's so many things. And when that stress hits you, you want to find a solution. And before we think about it, our choice is usually the comfort foods. Because when you eat that donut, immediately it hits that brain center that releases the happy hormone, serotonin. When that serotonin comes out, you feel just relaxed. So you just treated that stress with a donut or a cookie or a cake. And once you did it, you know it. Subconsciously now you got a pattern. Every time you get stressed, you're going to go grab that cookie. And you feel relaxed unknowingly. And now that action became a behavior. So the more you have those thoughts, the more actions happen. Repeated actions become behavior. So now every time you feel stressed, we're like, okay, let's grab that cookie. That's very mindlessly happening at a very inner subconscious level. I mean, we don't even pay attention to it. But then a lot of times when you start overeating and you start gaining weight, then you're thinking, okay, what's going on here? So emotional eating is one of the very big problems out there. So usually I say, think about what the trigger is. Step back a little bit and see what the trigger is and write real compatible solutions. So find out what your trigger is, and in a reasonable mind, on a good full stomach, think about what you would do to solve that problem. These problems have solutions. Problems are not equal to food. So a lot of times we misunderstand that in our brain, and that's what happens. So if you just think about it, it kind of brings that awareness, and then you start thinking. And good news is, if once you have that urge or craving to eat something, if you plan on, let's go take a walk instead of, you know, going for a cookie, let's go take a shower, let's talk to a friend, you know, let's read a book, something to kind of digress yourself from those thoughts, usually the urge of craving disappears within 10 minutes. So that's one of the ways to deal with it. So number one, identify the problem. Number two, write down solutions for your problems and write down what is the alternative that you're going to do. So if you feel stressed, what are you going to do today? So think about 5 things that you could do differently instead of grabbing that cookie. So when you have those rescue plans with you, when the time comes, you know what to choose. So instead of mindlessly going for it. And good news is, this lasts for 10 minutes. Once the 10 minutes are gone, it's out of your mind and that's it. The craving is gone.
That's good stuff. I know that I am an emotional eater. And it's, and the, I think what's worse is it's not like a stressful, or it doesn't have to be a stressful or a negative emotion. Just a lot of times we celebrate with food.
True.
And, you know, if there's a lot of good stuff going on in your life, you're always eating. And I've literally gone from event to event in the same day. And, oh, I'll just get a little plate. I'll just get a little plate. And it adds up. So true. I'm really wanting to be more mindful of how much I eat, not just what I eat and when I eat. So I want, and a lot of people sometimes think that I work out a lot, and I don't. I really don't. I probably need, not probably, I need to more, but I've always been just blessed with good metabolism, I'll call it. But I, the older that I get, the older that I get, the more my body reminds me, you better stop. You better watch out. So I want to encourage everybody out there to, you know, listen to that. Stop when you're ready to, when you're craving that thing, stop. Think about what that trigger is. Write that down. And then try five things. Think of five things that you can do other than eat. What can you do? What else can you eat? If you eat anything, you know, eat some celery sticks, eat some, drink a bottle of water. Water usually fills me up for a while.
True. So,
yes, that's why I keep a bottle with me.
Awesome. That's great. So, it's cheap, works well.
Yes, because I definitely struggle with food cravings. I mean, it's insane. I get hangry, as they say. When I want to eat what I want to eat, I'm not always smiling.
So Cora, I am, do you eat only when you're hungry, or do you eat just because it's there?
Sometimes both. I have been known to eat like, okay, it's lunchtime. Like when I'm on a job and it's lunchtime. So I eat because it's lunchtime.
It's lunchtime, yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed that holiday time when I cook a lot more. I cook a big meal for company, and then there's leftovers. Man, that dressing was so good. Oh, let me just go get a little bit of dressing. Oh, I can't just get dressing. Let me get some turkey too. Oh man, but the greens were so good. Next thing you know, I have a full plate. Oh man, and the sweet potato pie was good too. So sometimes just because it's there and... Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good. I'll only get a little bit. Okay, I'm going to work out tomorrow. But then I don't work out.
As if you're going to run your calories out. I wish that happened, but it does not.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. But
I'm
doing better.
It's like, you know, if you want to eat something like that, try to eat your apple first. Mm. And then go for the gravy. So instead of starting from the dessert, start with your greens, because again, those are nutritious. They fill you more. So even if you're not hungry, if it's 12 o'clock lunchtime, eat your salad. And then obviously there's very less room for your gravy and other things. So eventually it kind of gets into that habit.
Yeah.
So if you want that treat next time, eat your greens first, eat your salad first.
I will do that. And I love salad.
Me too. I could eat salad all three times a day.
My problem sometimes is like if I eat salad for a meal at night, my dinner, it's usually way too much. I build a salad. So I've got some discipline issues to take on. Just figure out, why do I do what I know I shouldn't?
Now, what kind of salad are you talking about? Potato salad, chicken salad?
No, it will be, I like kale, romaine, and spinach mix.
Oh, that's awesome.
sometimes green leaf. I like pretty salads. I do not mm-hmm. like, what's that one? Iceberg. I don't like iceberg lettuce.
So more color, the better.
Yes. Then, yeah. Okay, so I got to put, I'll chop up a boiled egg on it. And I want some olives. And I want some crackers. And I want, what else do I like on there? Some pickles.
Good.
And if there happens to be some chicken breast in there, okay, I'll just cut a little bit up. Yeah, I build a whole salad.
Good. Yeah, I like that. Love it. Add a little bit of hummus to it or guacamole.
I like hummus. Avocado. Mm-hmm. I can't eat avocado.
No, you can't eat avocado. But yeah, people who can eat that, you know, go for it, because that again is a healthy fat and that keeps you full longer, so you don't get hungry. And then balsamic vinegar dressing is light. That's good for you. So you could consider that. You know, there are various options. Thing.
That's another thing. The dressing choice is not the best. Ranch.
Sometimes Italian. And sometimes you feel like crunchy, you can add some carrots and celery.
No, I do. I love carrots. I can just eat raw carrots. I started buying the chips, the sliced ones, the pre-sliced ones, just because I make those my potato chips. That's my brain trick. So when I'm craving that crunch, instead of Ruffles, I'll eat the rippled carrot chips.
That's awesome. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah.
That is one I do. Carrots and broccoli. I love them. So I don't see, no one has any questions in the chat. I've been asking a couple of times if anyone had any questions. They are pretty engaged, but nobody's asking any questions. Mm-hmm. I am hoping that I have done a lot of questioning myself to get people information that they might need. Doctor, is there anything that you want to share that I may not have asked, or anything that you want to cover?
Sure. I think we always need to remember that it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. So it's okay to eat that cookie every now and then. Don't beat yourself for that. If you go the wrong way, what do? Make a U-turn, come back? That's okay. So try to always eat your real fuel first. That's the key, real fuel. God-made stuff, fruits and vegetables, salad, you know, lentils, beans, legumes. Start with that. And there's a beautiful, I think, a lot of good resources online to look up for whole food plant-based diet. There's Full Plate Living, where you'll find a ton of recipes. You can start with that. And then, you know, and try to replace a lot of your sugary beverages with water. If you can flavor your water up with some fruit or mint leaves or cucumbers and, you know, sliced lime or oranges or anything, you know, that's always good. And then, you know, I don't think anybody has binged or has had, you know, addiction to broccoli or carrots. I haven't seen one case in my 20 years. So basically, yeah, the man-made sugars, high fructose corn syrup, refined sugars, processed food. So I call it crap, C-R-A-P. It's like calorie dense, refined and processed. So if you're eating like that, definitely you crave for more. But once you eat carrots and broccoli, you're not going to eat more. Trust me, you'll feel satisfied and you're done. You know, there is contentment after you eat the right food. Whereas if you eat junk, there's pleasure that you want more of. So you want to eat more of the junk to get that pleasure. So that's kind of going towards addiction, as you can see. You know, sugar is cocaine. It's addictive. You want more to get that pleasure. Whereas real food is contentment. You feel happy and you don't think about it. So, I would kind of really wish everyone very good, happy health. Because, again, you know, you can buy another car, but you cannot buy another kidney. You cannot buy another liver. So might as well take care of it while you have it. You know, you don't want to wake up after your first heart attack or stroke. You know, if you have family history, that's, again, a wake-up call right there. Prevent it. And it's preventable. And if you already have disease, it's reversible. Trust me, your body is a tremendous machine. If you give it the right nutrients, you can reverse and put a lot of things in remission and come off of medication or reduce your medication significantly. So there is hope. Don't give up.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to take your tips and implement them immediately. I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me and talking to my audience and opening yourself up to, you know, take questions and just being so open. It is really, really an honor. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jyoti Manekar, thank you for joining us. And every day, I want you to remember, life is a gift. Enjoy the present. Stay popping. Take it easy, you guys. Good night.